This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Thank you for tuning into Global Air Force. Today, David Hogan from Freedom Ministry. He is an excited individual, provocative and wild, and he's going to tell his story and experience.
Here he is, the wild and wonderful David Hogan.
Yeah. So did y'all do y'all's homework?
Bless y'all, everybody. I was born in the United States, state of Louisiana. Y'all don't pronounce it that way, but I'm from there, so we're right. So I'll bless the land. Let's do a couple of declarations. Let our faith loose into the airwaves. I was asked a question, so I'm going to address it. I was asked if people get raised from the dead who are not saved. I was asked that question. So what I want to do is I want to tell you a story about this. There was a man that took it upon his life as his life goal to kill me. He hated me so much. There's lots of reasons to hate me. One, for being an American. Two, for being a white American. Three, for being a male white American. Four, for being a Christian male white American. But that was not what he hated. He didn't hate me for those reasons. He hated me because I was taking his converts. Because where I live, witchcraft is predominant. Witchcraft and idolatry. And it's a mixture of all those things. So this guy, I must tell you this story. So the ones of you that's going to leave, I'm going to send you home early. But the ones of you that's going to stay, the Spirit of God's going to touch you. So if you don't want the Spirit of God to touch you, you should go home. But if you do, you should stick around. Because mercy of God's going to touch us, and he's going to start with me. So you better get in line. So here's how it went. All right, I'm out there preaching the gospel, right? And there's no gospel. There's no one saved. And so I go out there, and me being a white American guy, you know, that brings controversy. So, but I get out there and I found out that there's a lots of sickness and disease, and there's a lots of poverty and destruction, and it's brought about by these subservient gods or these demonic forces. And I don't believe in them. I believe in Jesus. Do you hear me? But I run into this problem. We started getting lots of people saved in this area. And then persecution lit up on us. Now, persecution, where I'm from, is different than where you're from. Where I'm from, they cut your head off. They bury you alive. They burn your house with you in it. They burn your crops and all your animals. Okay. So they started sending these diseases. Now, I know that most people in this room do not believe that all diseases are spirits, but they are. Do you hear me? And so things started getting rough for us. They started putting us in jail. They started doing beating us with clubs, and it was pretty heavy persecution. And it come to find out there was one man that hated me and the gospel. Determined to destroy me and the gospel. Well, me, you can destroy. But the more you put pressure on the gospel, the stronger and greater it grows. It doesn't matter. I'm not relevant. I am sheep for the slaughter. But the relevancy is the blood covenant of the Lord Jesus Christ. What matters is who Jesus is. And so we stood our ground, and we decided to continue. So the persecution grew instead of diminished. It grew. And then I decided to do a conference, a campaign. We call them campañas, close to where the most problematic place was. I decided that I need to get as close as I can and call on the heavens to help us. So we did, and there was lots of people got saved. But I didn't know there was these two men that were sick, too. And we prayed for them, and both of them got healed. What I didn't know was those two men were sons of that black magic warlock that hated us. And when his boys went to him, because both, now listen, this is a spiritual matter I'm telling you. We'll see who can capture it. Both of the, one out of one boy, or man, both of those diseases went and attached themselves to the dad. All right, now I know your world either does or don't believe that, but it doesn't matter to me because I was there and I lived it. I know exactly what was going on. I know what's going on, because when you throw your weight against us, that's not a problem. But when you throw your weight against the gospel is where your problem starts. There's a lots of people that hate the gospel. They'll use you as their ticket to manifest their hate, but you don't be offended by these people. I'm inviting you to walk as a Christian and walk in the Holy Ghost and allow the mercy of God to have greater power than the enemy of your God. I'm inviting you to be a Christian and walk like, talk like a Christian. Well, this man got so mad. Now this guy's a black magic warlock. Now he worships the devil. You hearing me? So these two diseases were so dynamic that they got it. He got so sick, and with his last breath before he died, this is what he said: "I hate David Hogan and I curse his God." And then he died. Okay. You know, you're not going to hurt me with that. I apologize to you, but your hate has no value with me. I love Jesus. I'm good. Jesus is king. All right. So, okay. Now, the younger son really loved his dad. So instead of burying the guy and moving on, now look, this man cursed God with his last breath. You hear me? But the younger son, which was, he was probably in his 30s, fell across his dad, laying across him at the house, begging God to heal him and raise him from the dead. Now, all of our theology, everybody, all of us, we don't believe that's okay. None of us do. We don't believe that's all right. But listen to me, love is more powerful than your theology. There's something about the love of God that we need to figure out. Because this guy's laying across an enemy. This guy's an enemy. He persecuted us for 20 years. In my opinion, I'm glad he's dead, but he's not my dad. You hear me? And his son is laying across his dad. I'm talking about a man that hates God. All right, well, this is not my fault. What I'm fixing to tell you, I would not have done this. But God don't think like we think. God don't act like we act. God loves everybody the same. And you better figure that out. So that boy, that man is laying over this guy and praying over this guy for hours now. 12 hours. He's laying on top of his dead daddy, calling out to God for mercy. Well, 3 o'clock in the morning, dad sets up. I'm talking about a black magic warlock who cursed God with his last breath. Well, I have to tell you that disappointed my theology. God didn't agree with my theology. God does what he wants to. So what do you do with that? You know it's legal for this guy to go to hell. He hated God and he hated Christianity. He hated us. It's legal for him to go to hell. right? But what do you do with a God that's so powerful that a man that has caused so much damage and so much hate, he flat forgives him and brings him back to life? See, that God right there, I can serve that God. You hear me? That means there's hope for me. Because every one of us in this room believe we're not as bad as that guy. Well, if that guy can be raised from the dead and born again, I might can myself. What do you think? See, this is important. It's important that we raise these questions. We need to think. What are we doing? Who are we allowing to get saved? Who are we banishing to hell? And why are we doing that? And who gives us that right? When God loves everybody the same, but my love is limited, evidently. What I'm trying to get us to do is figure it out. Let God be bigger than we have him already. Isn't that right? We can do this. We can do this because God's the one. If we let him be in charge, he can run things with us, help us. He can show us how to be a true Christian and let forgiveness run in our spirits and in our families. God wants to help us, but we have to let him help us. Okay. All right, watch. Well, I heard about it. Well, I didn't like it. And the difference in you and I is I'm honest. I'll flat tell you, I don't like that. What he did to us, the years of punishment we endured because of one man's hate, to me, he needed to go to hell and burn forever. That's just how I viewed it. But God didn't view it that way. So I wanted to see this guy face to face. So I scheduled myself out there. I went out there, I got me a chair, I drug it up there, and I'm sitting looking at my enemy, I mean right in front of him. And I said to him, how do you escape? How did you escape? Because what happened to you is not what the Bible says is going to happen to people like you. I need to know how you escaped. He said, Brother David, I'm sorry. I said, I'm not interested in that part right now. I want to know how you got away. How you got saved? How is that legal? He said, Brother David, all I know is I cursed you, I cursed your God, and I died. I said, all right, what happened next? Now, I want to know who you run into. Did you see anybody? When it went dark for you, what happened next? He said, I was in space, Brother David, going through darkness. And then I stopped. I said, what happened? He said, there was a light came up behind me. And I turned and looked at the light. I said, okay, this light, did it have a form? He said, in the beginning, it didn't have a form. But then it took a form. I said, what form did it take? He said, Brother David, it was a man standing there and he was glowing. He was inside the light. I said, all right, that's the boss. You got the boss. How did you get the boss? He said, I don't know. I said, okay. Did this being say anything to you? He said he did. I said, okay. What did he say? Because it matters to me what he said. So you know what he said? The oddest thing to me was Jesus spoke the dialect. Jesus spoke that man's dialect. And he said three words to him. Boy, this ain't right. None of this is right. I'm an eighth generation preacher. This ain't right. You understand how much we preach, how you need to walk with God and be as close to him and as holy as possible. And yet this man with his last breath was a cursing, vile human being. But then the light of the gospel, whose name is Jesus, came up to him. And guess what he told him? Do you know what he said? He said, Dimitsneki. That's Aztec. That means I love you. Jesus, that's all Jesus said to the guy. You got this light standing there, right, with this being inside this light, and the being said to this dead warlock person, Dimitsneki, I love you. Well, I have to tell you, that's disappointing. Because I would have told all of you that that's not who Jesus is, but it turns out that's who I am. That's who I am. That's not who Jesus. Jesus loves you. Do you hear me? And when Jesus told the man, I love you, what happened to the man? Anybody know? Right back in his body. He woke up and it's been like 14 hours. I said, this ain't fair. I don't like this. He said, Brother David, I'm sorry. I said, no, it's not you. It's me. I'm the problem. Here we're trying to be part of the solution, and yet we're still part of the problem. I need us to let the mercy of God come upon us. I need all of us, me first, because I've pretty much got my mind made up on a couple of things, and it turns out I'm wrong on a few of them. We need to let the gospel be powerful. We need to let the gospel be more powerful than our problems and our enemies. And of course, now I don't have a theology about it. I used to, but it got blown away. So I don't do that anymore. And it does make me a lot freer to have one less theological problem to have to worry about. So I come to you to your land, to bless this land. I come to you to let you, to help you let go of your enemies and your problems, because Jesus is in charge. I need us to let Jesus really be our Redeemer and our Savior. We need to let the Holy Ghost come into our families in the name of Jesus. You hear me? Hear me now. That was pretty spectacular in my world. How God can love a guy that I don't love him. And I'd have pulled the plug on that guy. But Jesus didn't. Jesus forgave the guy and said, you're welcome, you're a son. And now you ought to see this guy. He's one of the best preachers you've ever seen. You ought to see him. He goes with us all over the place. He preaches the gospel. He's not afraid of anything or anybody. And he's got the best doctrine. You know what that doctrine is? Jesus is king, because Jesus forgave me. Okay, John chapter 10, verse 9, it says, I am the door. Say, thank you, God, for providing us with a doorway. You give us help. We need help. And it comes from Jesus. John 10, verse 10. This is what it says. The thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. Say these words with me. Thief, get out. No stealing. No killing. No destroying. Not me. Not my home. Not my land. Jesus blessed this land. The blessing of the gospel in this land. So we went to this area and these people got saved. And so some of the other people didn't want to get saved. So they formed a co-op of people that hate the gospel and are going to, they're going to farm crops and pool their money and try to figure out how to get lawyers to stop us in the gospel. And so I thought that was comical, because the power of the gospel cannot be stopped. There's no amount of money, and there's no lawyers, there's no government that can stop the gospel. No one can stop the gospel. It is the power of God. My Bible says that the gospel is the power of God. That's what my Bible says in Romans chapter 1. Okay, so this plague, do y'all understand grasshopper plagues? Okay, well, the Gulf of Mexico, it's on our eastern side of our work. Our work is approximately 200 miles long and a couple of hundred miles deep as well. And so it's a large area that we work. It starts at the Gulf of Mexico and goes up to 10,000 feet, all right, in the mountains. They call them the Sierra Madre Orientales, where I work. Okay, so the wind started blowing. A hurricane come, right? Come out of the Gulf. But it blew in these bugs. So these bugs come, and they big old grasshoppers. And they're eating everything green. They eat everything. Everything. They eat every leaf, all the crops. They eat everything. But there's one problem with it. One of our pastors went out there, and he told them, don't spray my fields. The government was providing venom or poison to try to stop the plague from killing all the crops. But the pastor, one of our pastors goes out there and he tells the government officials, put none of that poison on my land. God protects my land. Now that right there will get you put in jail. So then the people in the whole, all the Christians banded together and told the government, you cannot put that venom or that poison on our property because we want our land to be healthy. So the government told them, you will have no crops. They're coming. The plague is coming. It's coming at us. It's eating, and there's billions of these bugs. And they're eating everything. Okay, so the bugs got there. So in the morning, the pastor goes out there, and he looks at his fields. Lots of bugs. So he went home, and they got together, and they started praying. Thank you, God, for the bugs. Thank you that the bugs need to eat as well. But so do we. So would you help us? Okay, the bugs are there, and they're deep. It's a lots of them. In the morning, the bugs are gone. Everything's brown. They eat everything. All the village people, everybody goes to all the Christians' crops. Every Christian's crops are intact. Listen, when Jesus says to you, I am the door, if you need help, go in the door. Don't try to sit there because of your experience, intellect, family history with crops, because we're farmers as well. You hear me? See me? I'm a farmer. See me? But let me tell you what works. Jesus. Last year, we had a drought. I don't know what you know about crops, but you need water for crops. So they told me, Brother David, your oranges are not going to produce. There's no water. I said, let me go talk to my trees. See? This is where I'm going to lose all you farmers right here. But the difference in your farm than mine is green when everybody else's is dry and brown. The difference is mine has oranges on it and my cows are fat when the rest of them are dying. The difference is Jesus is my door. And I talk to my cows and I talk to my trees and I remind them that I am a son of God, and you must respond accordingly. So I go out amongst my trees. Corbin, where's Corbin? Did we or did we not win last year when everybody failed? Okay, so the brothers come and they tell me, whereas we had about 120 tons of oranges last year, this year they told me, you're only gonna have about 30 tons. It's the drought, Brother David. I said, I disagree with you. And if you can believe in the life of the gospel, and if you'll walk through that doorway, you can find pasture. Where there isn't any outside, there is where you are. And it's not you. It's mercy. It's mercy. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. Listen, I need you to want this gospel. I don't need you to be satisfied with what hell says you can have. I need you to go into the door, and I need you to find pasture with the Holy One of Israel. because he's got stuff. Plants listen to him and they respond when he speaks to them. All I did, my part in the thing was bowing to Jesus and going out and touching my orange trees and literally speaking to leaves. Now listen, I am a son of God and you got to respond to me. And the trees don't talk back much. Say it. I want that. Say it. I want that kind of gospel. Say it. That's what I'm interested in. Say it. It's the unknown. That's what I want. God is so powerful. God is so big. And yet we settle for such a small amount of his goodness. I need you to want more of God.
Yeah.
Global Air Force wants you. Be a part of the Global Air Force Radio Ministry. Please go to our website at www.globalairforce.net. That's www.globalairforce.net.
So pure, slow.
Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.
Thank you for flying with Global Air Force.